So here's the question. How do active people in the Des Moines area stay pain-free and live the active, fulfilled life that they deserve at any age? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. I'm Ryan Domeyer, and welcome to the Rev Health Radio Podcast. Welcome back to the Rev Health Radio Podcast. Dr. Ryan here today, back with a guest of coach who's coached myself and someone who's striving to be the fittest photographer, Dylan Shoemaker. Dylan, thanks for joining.
Thanks, man. It's really fun to be on this show, and I've actually enjoyed listening to the podcast myself for a little while, so it's kind of special for me to be on here.
Let's quickly share your story. Let's share your story into fitness, what you do now, how you combine your professional life with fitness, and how integral of a role that plays. So how did your fitness journey start, Dylan?
I would say, if you want to take it all the way back, my dad would tell me that I would be hitting plastic golf balls around the yard when I was 2 years old. But he introduced me to racquetball when I was four. I played my first juniors tournament when I was six, played in the Junior Olympics when I was eight, was on the Junior Olympic team when I was 10. So fitness has been, fitness and competitive sport has been a major part of my life for a long time. But this more recent bout of fitness started really when I went to college at Iowa State, which would be back, I started working out aggressively in 2013, really January of 2013. And I had just switched my major from architecture to exercise science, and figured if I was going to learn everything that there was to know about the human body and how to train well, I better apply it. So I started training, and the course load of the program was much less rigorous than my previous major, so I got bored. So I would hit the gym 3 times a day, 5 days a week, doing the same workout 3 times a day because I had no more education at that point in time. So that definitely helped me out. I hit a little bit of a growth spurt, but at that point in time, I put on about 50 pounds of muscle in like 3.5 months. So really, really fast, my body decided to change and grow. And
you were in college. Are we sure that's muscle?
Yeah, no, it's definitely muscle. Definitely muscle. And my girlfriend at the time, wife now, would say that cuddling with me was horrible because my shoulders felt like a pile of bones. So, sorry, Kayla. But I was finishing up my undergrad. Accepted an internship here at Acceleration Iowa, CrossFit Des Moines, now DSM Performance. And the facility director, Tyler Lloyd, introduced me to CrossFit. And that was a very eye-opening experience of how to effectively train your body through multiple ranges of motion, multiple modalities of fitness, and how to make your fitness efficient.
Let me back up one step. How did you get from architect degree, design, similar to what you do now, to coaching? What was that jump? Exercise science, coaching, the human movement?
Sure. It was very simple. I'd been an athlete my entire life, so really athletics and competitive sport was all I knew. I wanted to be an architect, but after my full year of being in the design corps and submitting my portfolio for review, I wasn't accepted to the program. So instead of trying to do an entire another year and paying whatever it was, like $17,000, to just try again, I had to think to myself, well, what else do I love to do? I love to build I love to design buildings, I love to design things and build things, but what else do I love to do? I love sports. Okay, we'll try that. So I entered the Kines program. And that's pretty much where that journey started. So
that led you to coaching. You coached at Acceleration Iowa, CrossFit Des Moines. That kind of got you into the adult fitness. Did you do youth as well, or stuck with adult fitness?
I ran the Acceleration Iowa program for a short time while I was here. So that was all youth. We'd see anywhere from 150 to 300 kids a week at that point in time. So, I mean, it was very... let's call it adaptive. Mm-hmm. Because every kid had a different skill level, had a different motivation, had a different sport. And so you always had to be on your toes to give them the best of what you could give them, mm-hmm. so that they would advance in their own right, in their own sport. But that wasn't really my first step into coaching. My first step into coaching was when I entered the kinesiology degree, I became a personal trainer at Iowa State. So I took my personal training certification, started, you know, training clients. Mm-hmm.
Creating exercises. There's the creative architect side of you, designing programs.
Definitely designed programs. Mm-hmm. Actually, I have one client who still is with me. He's virtual. We haven't physically seen each other face-to-face for a while, but he's doing so well now that we haven't even needed to. We just talk about once a month and see how he's doing, mm-hmm. and if anything needs adjusted, we'll fix it. But his name's Dinesh, and he lost at the time 250 pounds and now is a semi-competitive rock climber. Huh. Like, totally just walked into a class that I had when I was teaching group fitness at the time. Walked into a class and said, "Hey, I hate myself." And mm-hmm. I said, "Hey, I don't hate you. Let's work on this together."
That's an interesting pattern I see of transforming and designing something like a building in architecture versus transforming and designing someone's body image or body sure. shape. It's very yeah. similar. It's just understanding the human body and understanding coaching, which Ty here opened your eyes to CrossFit, which then led you to coach at a few different CrossFit gyms, get into CrossFit coaching. Mm-hmm. You've coached classes that I've been a part of.
Yep.
And that whole skill of, like you said, with the youth athletes, always adapting, especially yep. with adults, we're at way different levels for CrossFit. Some people can do some skills, some can't. There's a lot of adaptiveness in there, which a good coach has. How did your creative juices get to photography, or and kind of what you love to do now with CrossFit and photography?
Man. So that the photography opportunity came through my time here at Acceleration Iowa, DSM Performance, as well. Before DSM Performance was a thing, it was Acceleration Iowa and CrossFit Des Moines mm-hmm. in one building. And they were two separate businesses. And Ty wanted an overarching umbrella brand mm-hmm. to encompass that. They talked to a couple of designers and didn't really like what they were hearing from them. And so I just raised my hand and said, "Hey, Ty, I'll just try. Like, no promises, but I'll try." Mm-hmm. And so my wife and I, she helped me, pretty integral part in the beginning. But we came up with a name, and we came up with a logo, and we designed the website. And through all of that, when you create a website, you need photos. They didn't have any. So I borrowed my wife's little Canon Rebel T3, like, starter camera, and I just came in and started trying. Just mm-hmm. practiced. I knew nothing about photography at all. Everything was all on, like, all the auto settings. I did not know what manual was. I did not know any of what it was to create a composed image. I did not know anything. But very quickly, I fell in love with the way that people looked when they trained. Mm-hmm. And people fell in love with the way that I saw them. And that became very important to me.
Yeah, I see exactly what you're saying, because I'm the same way. I don't literally know nothing about photography. You'd have to explain it to me like I'm a second grader, but I know I need photography. Like, yes, when I was building my website, I'm like, yep, I need some photos. Dylan, you need to help me shoot some photos so they look nice, so yeah. I look legit on the internet.
Right, yeah.
And that led you to experimenting. And how long have you been doing photography, which led you to the fittest photographer and yeah. some portrait design? How long have you been doing that full time? It's almost 2 years?
No, it's almost three and a half.
Three and a half,
actually.
Years.
Okay. So, I mean, yeah, it was really just kind of toying around and hobbying with it for a while. But February of 2020, right before everybody went into lockdown, I decided to go full time with photography. Mm-hmm. So coaching is a part time gig now versus a full time gig, and photography is my full time. And because gyms weren't open, this is how I practiced during quarantine, because mm-hmm. gyms weren't open and I had a gym in my garage, I'd let people come work out with me if they'd let me shoot photos of them. Mm-hmm. And so they'd come, they'd work out, I'd shoot photos, I'd disinfect all the equipment after they left. A couple hours later, someone else might show up, you know? There was a lot of that through those months. But the fittest photographer thing really just came around as I wanted to create a brand that encompassed both halves of who I am as a person. My goal as a photographer was always to shoot the fittest athletes, aka the fittest photographer, right? If you put a little, what do they call that?
At symbol.
Not the at symbol. Like if the photographer of the fittest, if you were to do it that way, right? Gotcha. That, that language. But at the same time, I've always wanted to push myself and challenge myself, and seeing the growth that I've seen through CrossFit, and because CrossFit is a sport, and that competitive side of me has always just kicked in naturally, I decided, well, why not try to be the fittest version of myself that I can be? I just happen to be a photographer. So that really kind of stuck well. The fittest photographer is just kind of how that, that Instagram handle kind of came to be. The creative side of it came around through portrait photography, where I decided to use as many creative techniques as I could find, whether it was with light or whether it was, well, manipulation of light, I guess would be a big one. I mean, I use lights, outstanding light, natural sunlight, colored lights, you know, whatever, to create this this beautiful image that the people that I work with are proud of, that it boosts their self-confidence, and it gives them just a genuine fun experience where they get to try something new. I mean, the majority of the people that I shoot with are not professional models. They're just people who I ask, hey, would you be interested in some fun photos? And they say yes. And I say, what do you love? And then from what they love, we build a session. We build a, you know, whether it's their favorite TV show, or whether they love to read books, or whatever it is, we kind of design the photo shoot based off of that, and then we go play. And it's just been an absolute blast. So then I take those same things that I learn, and I apply it to my fitness photography, and that's why my fitness photography has improved so quickly.
You just hit on something, and you know I feel passionate about always getting better at something. I'm far from the best physical therapist ever, but I try to learn as much as I can from really smart people. Is that the same? Because I see that with your photography. You showed me photos of where you were in 2020 versus where you are now. You're never really done. You're always looking for the next step of how can I get the lighting better? How can I anticipate this better? How can I make this shoot better?
Yeah.
Is that, and that's similar to your fitness journey of always continuously improving, which the thing that I didn't know about photography that especially you taught me was, is so much about anticipation.
It is.
So you, being involved in CrossFit, are great at shooting CrossFit competitions or CrossFit athletes because you know what they're going to do next. You know what angle you need to be at. Same thing with racquetball, other sports that you play, where you know those things. So that's where it's really nice to have someone who's a fitness professional and a photographer to actually get those shots. What do you enjoy most? Is there a certain sport? Is there a certain...
That's definitely CrossFit.
CrossFit people, the CrossFit shots. How come? Because of how they look, of they are such fit athletes, or the events are so different? Why do you like shooting CrossFit the most?
I just think it's the purest representation of fitness out there currently. I mean, CrossFit is the culmination of every type of fitness that's out there, whether it's cardio, strength, gymnastics, skills. I mean, you take different elements from sports and put it into CrossFit, and you've got the CrossFit Games. I mean, we kayaked and swam last year as the very first event, you know, and it wasn't a small feat, right? They had to swim a mile and then kayak 3 miles. That was the first event of the first day. That's sport right there, but you also have to be fit enough to complete that too, right? So I think that's really, I just think it's the purest representation of fitness. I love seeing how the athletes can push themselves beyond their limits in competition. I mean, you see a lot of that. Athletes will hit personal bests in their weightlifting. They'll hit personal bests in their, you know, 6K run time or whatever the event is, where they get to push the boundaries of what we know as, and I don't like to want to say the term regular human beings, because they're regular human beings too that have just put in far more work and effort than we have yet. You know, nothing about me is different than anything about Matt Frazier, except for Matt Frazier grew up in Vermont, and I grew up in Iowa, and his parents were different than my parents, right? I mean, if I put in the same work and the same time and ate the same way and slept the same way that he did, we'd probably look pretty similar. But I don't do that, right?
I worked out with you, Dylan. You're nothing like Matt Frazier.
Exactly, right. I'm not. No, that's true, right? But him being a 5-time CrossFit Games champion doesn't separate him from being less than, you know, or more than human. He's just human. So
I want to switch paths and ask a different question, because I've never actually asked you this. I don't know anything about the photography industry. Anyone still listening, please check out The Fittest Photographer on Instagram. You can see how great the photos are shot, because they look great. Is social media in the form of Instagram, TikTok, etc., good for photographers, or is it bad because people just steal their images and don't give them credit? What has social media done for photographers? Has it helped or hurt?
In its own way, I feel like it's both helped and hurt. The age of social media has allowed creatives to freely advertise their work on a multi-billion viewer platform. Mm-hmm. But because it's so freely accessible, everyone thinks it's easy. So now my work is viewed by some as less valuable than other. If does that make sense?
A little bit. Re-clarify that. So it's almost because there's so much, people don't value it as much, because normally my old photographer, back when I did senior photos 20 plus years ago, like, I had my photos taken, and then 2 weeks later we got the nice little book with all the physical prints in them, and yep. I don't even think we had digital images back then. It was like physical prints.
Yeah.
In the age of digital images, and now digital images online, accessible to everyone, it's watered down. Digital
images online now. Yeah, it's much more the name of the game. The print image is now almost more of a luxury. It's easily accessible, but because digital images are everywhere and they're so easily accessible, the print image is special. It's a one of a, I mean, you don't print an image anymore unless it is your absolute favorite image. Mm-hmm. Like, currently I have 5 prints in my office. Those 5 prints are my current 5 favorite images I've ever taken. No more, no less. I mean, at that point, you know, I asked someone recently if I should, like, what I should add to the gallery next, mm-hmm. and he said nothing unless it's your favorite.
So the pro is definitely more access, more people. So many thousands of people that see your images that would probably have never seen them before. Absolutely. From around the world. The con, especially as iPhone cameras get better every year, as filters make things look very nice, people devalue what a photographer does. Is that kind of the pro and con list? That's right there? That's
pretty much it, yeah. I mean, for the most part now, you can run your social media pretty effectively off of just an iPhone camera and some filters you bought off the internet. Mm-hmm. But the quality is a little bit different. I mean, it takes a special eye to shoot a special shot, and it takes special equipment to create a high quality, high resolution image of something that'll last forever. I mean, it's
essentially, I totally get with that.
A camera, it's almost like, let's put it like this. It's almost like making a painting. Okay, when you paint an image, you select your medium. Right? What kind of canvas you want to use, whether it's just paper, whether it's a canvas, whether it's, you know, whatever it is, stone even. You choose the kind of paint you want to use, water, oil base, you know, you choose the right brush, all of those things. Well, if you just want a finger painting, then an iPhone will be fine. But if you want a Van Gogh image, you need a professional photographer.
I totally feel that, because I, again, know nothing about photography. I just know really good shots when I see them.
Yeah.
And I know I can't do that. My phone doesn't able to do that, and I don't have the equipment. I know nothing other than the auto setting on any camera. I don't even own a digital camera anymore. All we have are our phones these days. But I've related to you, and especially for what I do at Rev, of the design process for my fitness industry or my industry is designing people a program to get out of pain and do whatever they want to do and keep them moving well. That's how I related to you of, I'm not an architect. I know nothing about architecture. I don't know anything about photography. I can't design a website, but I can design a program to get someone out of pain because I've been doing it for a decade and right. getting them back to moving well,
yeah.
which I was like, oh, I see the same pattern with you, whether it's architecture, website design, photography, of seeing someone, anticipating the shot, anticipating the lighting that you're going to need, and using your equipment to get the settings just right to design it so it looks good and looks how it wants to on the image.
Yeah, I mean, if you as a physical therapist take a situation, and the situation is typically a human being that comes to you in pain with an injury, right, of some sort, or maybe it's not an injury per se, but something that's bothering them, and you analyze that situation and you adjust your settings, and then you create something from that will make that situation better. Photography is no different. You know, you look at a landscape, you put the person you want in that landscape. It could be in a studio, right?
Mm-hmm.
The landscape is just general term for space. And maybe that's just a better word, but you see a space, something that is very attractive or meaningful to you. You place your subject in that space, and you manipulate your settings, your light, your vision to create something beautiful. So I think they're very similar in that way. The other thing that sets me apart as a photographer a little bit is that, yeah, like you said, I've been doing fitness for almost a decade. Actually, this year it'd be a decade. So, well, I've been pursuing coaching mm-hmm. and betterment of physical body movement and mind for about a decade. I have an intimate knowledge of how the body's going to move when it does a movement. It's going to move a little bit differently for everyone, right? But the anticipation factor is not just, I do CrossFit, so I know CrossFit. It's deeper than that, because I took all the courses and I studied all of those. The deeper things that, for lack of a better way of explaining this, I took the biomechanics courses several times, not just to get out of school, but to understand them better. I know how someone's joints are going to move through a clean, or through a snatch, or through a pull-up, or through a racquetball swing, or through a volleyball hit, or through, I mean, you can watch that and then, if you really wanted to, write the equations and calculate out how much force they're producing through whatever implement they're using. You know, it's more than just watching, you know, and I've experienced it. I've seen the growth. I'm pushing myself daily to become a better athlete, to become a better individual, to become a better photographer, because I want to be the best that I can be. My personal motto is better every day.
Mm-hmm. I've related to that, especially your coaching cues. Anytime I try to help your knee, help your wrist, help whatever, you respond really quickly of, ah, that makes sense. Boom, implement, go. Mm-hmm. That's what I have, is the continuous improvement and implementation. And then always striving for more. You know, you're never done, and that's the art form. And yeah. That we can kind of end on that part of, that's been a theme with a few different episodes lately, is finding the art in fitness, in coaching. It's not just about burning calories. If that is the case, right. That's not really a sustainable model. You're going to get burnt out. Find something you enjoy doing,
right.
Whether it's professionally or in the fitness world, and find someone who pushes you to continuously improve, not just to burn calories, to lose weight, to be whatever. That's been a theme yeah. lately that I wanted to hit on, that I saw in your fitness journey and your story of architecture to website design that I wanted to share. Well, as we wrap up, check out Dylan. What's the best way to find you? Is it on Instagram?
Sure. Instagram works. Yeah, my Instagram is at the fittest photographer. If you want to check out some of my creative portraiture, that would be at creative portrait photographer. I mean, I got a Facebook and stuff too, but that's fine. And yeah. No one really knows me for that.
No, you know? Yeah, Instagram is the easiest, and it does make it look best. I'll put both of those in the show notes, and especially when we put this out, be sure to follow him on Instagram and shoot him a direct message about like any photos. He puts some really cool photos out. It's fun to watch some of either the regular people with portraits and the regular people doing CrossFit, and then the elite CrossFitters. And you can make his photos make anyone look good. If you want to see that in action, check out my website at Rev Health and Wellness for the photos he did of me. He even made me look good on the website. But Dylan, thanks a lot for joining the Rev Health Radio podcast. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All the listeners, appreciate everyone listening. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform.
I'm a subscriber, so you better subscribe.
And I will catch you next episode.
Hey, real quick before you go, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast and would like to share it with others, please take a screenshot and share it to your story on Facebook or Instagram, and make sure to tag Rev Health and Wellness. To stay up to date on all of our latest episodes, be sure to follow Rev Health and Wellness on Facebook and Instagram.